on my own.
I was standing in the hostel courtyard looking lost when a pretty girl came up to me. Hi, I'm Pooja, first year mechanical engineering.
I am Tanu, electrical engineering.
There was a tinge of pride in my voice, given the fact that I was clearly one up on her for EE meant a higher JEE rank. Pooja gave me a warm, welcoming smile. I liked her instinctively.
Which room?
She asked, looking at the bulky suitcase that I was carrying.
G2.
You? I asked.
C12,
she replied. These numbers didn't make much sense to me at that time, but Pooja knew her way around. While she gave me directions to G2, someone called her, and I went about trying to locate my new abode. Fascinated by Enid Blyton's boarding school stories, especially the Mallory Tower series, I had always wanted to experience hostel life. I craved independence, and here I was, finally on my own in a hostel. What more could I ask for? G2 was located at the rear end of the hostel building and was inhabited by two postgraduate students. I opened the door and saw two single beds and an old study table covered in a thick layer of dust. I shuddered as I saw a spider crawl out from under one of the beds and claim its space in the wall. I walked through the short connecting corridor to the second chamber, which had one full-length mirror, two single beds, a couple more spiders, in addition to an attached mini balcony full of bird shit. Infested, cramped, and dingy could well sum up the quarters I was to spend the next 4 years in. So much for hostel life. With a heavy heart, I cleaned the room, dusted one of the beds, opened my suitcase, and spread clean linen on it. With a lump in my throat, I went to the washroom to freshen up. My misery increased. The wash basin was dirty, the mirror stained, and the wall paint peeling. Tears welled up in my eyes. Home at Vadodara seemed like a mansion compared to this. No sooner had I arrived than I felt like running away.
Guest for Tanu.
I heard my father's voice boom on the public announcement system in the hostel's reception area. He was waiting in the visitor's lounge outside. I pulled myself together, washed my eyes, and went out to meet him.
Is everything okay?
He asked, sensing a change in my mood.
I will miss you, I said, toying with my plates.
I couldn't let my dream fall to bits in front of him. As he left, I looked at myself through his eyes. I did not see an average-looking girl with a small face, thick-rimmed glasses, and two long plates. Instead, I saw the most beautiful, intelligent little angel in the world. That's what I was for my father. This image rid me of all my thoughts of running away. Reassured, I returned to my room when a dark-complexioned girl stopped me midway.
Jason, she said,
thrusting a white powdery substance on a piece of paper to me.
What is this?
I asked uneasily.
Do not question your seniors,
she ordered, very much a drill sergeant of the making.
It's sugar, powdered sugar, she said. I'm not very fond of sweets,
I said nervously, fiddling with my hair and scanning the courtyard for saviors. But I didn't know anyone in the hostel and my father had already left.
This hardly has any calories,
she smirked, giving my heavy hips the once over. Then she lost her balance and toppled towards me. I could sniff cigarette smoke. Surely the white powder was not sugar. Could it be drugs? My heart skipped a beat. I didn't know what to do. Would it be dangerous to refuse?
I just had my homeopathic medicine, so I can't eat anything for the next 10 minutes.
I mouthed, hoping to stall the drugged senior. She spotted a skinny fresher wearing blue jeans and a white tee and called her over. She then ordered both of us to climb the stairs to the second floor with her.
Your friend here with the long tresses doesn't want to try this powder, she informed the other fresher. Why don't you jump off the second floor? And I won't force her anymore to have the white powder.
Was she mad? How could she ask someone to jump off the second floor? The skinny girl climbed up the parapet and stood perplexed, contemplating her chances of surviving the 20-foot fall. But I couldn't let anyone break their limbs for me. With no alternative in sight, I shut my eyes and prepared to sniff when thump! An applause. Had the skinny girl jumped? Why was the dark devil cackling? Anxiously, I opened my eyes to see the smart fresher standing right in front of me. She had outsmarted the senior by jumping on the corridor side. The senior seemed entertained, but I didn't find anything funny. I went to the bathroom and cried. I was debating my next step when a stern voice boomed through the air. All freshers come to the lobby immediately. I looked at my watch. It was time for the orientation. Struggling to keep my tears at bay, I quietly followed the seniors to the convocation hall. Fortunately, the dark devil was not in sight. Situated on the first floor, the 9-storied building, the convocation hall was a huge auditorium used for miscellaneous purposes besides holding the annual graduation ceremony. For strangers to IIT Delhi, the huge longitudinal campus spread endlessly over an area of 320 acres. The administrative and academic buildings were located near the entrance to the main campus to ensure that the boys and girls at IIT, supposedly the brightest minds of the nation, did not mingle with each other and continued being the geeks they were. The girls' hostel was holed up at the extreme end near the academic zone and flanked by faculty houses on all sides. Today, the entire convocation hall was packed with boys. A slim line of girls unobtrusively occupied the first few vacant seats in a row at the back. IIT was known for its skewed sex ratio. Where else would you find a batch that had 12 girls and 325 boys? I overheard some boys bet on Kapil Dev in an ongoing cricket match series. Some of them seemed to know each other and chatted about movies and music. The girls, however, seemed quiet. As we waited for each fresher to be assigned a roll number, I basked in the glory of the moment till it suddenly struck me that each individual here had cleared the IIT entrance exam and was in fact nothing short of a super genius. From being the best student in school, I was now just another geek among hundreds that thronged the hall. I was still grappling with my insignificance, but suddenly my future looked bleak. Had I slogged the past 2 years of my life for this? Had I made the right choice? I came out of my reverie when my name was called. I woke up and went to the stage to get my tag. On my way back, I saw the dark demon seated in a corner like a tigress waiting to pounce on her prey. "Go and propose to that guy in the red t-shirt." She stopped me and pointed her finger towards a 5'7" fat fair guy in a red t-shirt standing 4 rows ahead. "Convince him to marry you and don't come back rejected. Approach, propose, and return. A simple task. But not for me, as I was sweating profusely. In all my 14 years at an all-girls school in Delhi, I had been terribly inhibited about boys. The 2 years of co-education in Vadodara was no different, with boys and girls sitting on separate benches. In short, my comfort level with the opposite sex was like my Gujarati. Pathetic. And the sea of 17-year-old boys made me weak-kneed. But I was not alone. I saw other freshers being made to do similar stuff. There was no escaping this. So I walked up to the boy in the red t-shirt. "Deepika has sent a scapegoat," said a husky voice from behind. "Wait till Pia sends someone to tail you," retorted red t-shirt. "Pia won't. I had made it very clear to her last semester that I wasn't interested in her, and she seemed to take the rejection sportingly," clarified the deep-throaty voice. I sneaked a glance to put a face to the voice and found a bespectacled surd in a color-coordinated shirt and turban. Going by their conversation, this Pia, whoever she was, had confirmed a fact that IIT girls were certainly not in demand. I felt uneasy. What was I expected to do? Go down on my knees? Or was that only restricted to men? "I have to propose to you," I said, sounding like I needed to pee. "That would indeed be lovely." He emphasized each word and looked directly into my eyes. Now, did this mean he had accepted my proposal or was waiting for my next move? I wasn't sure, but going by his stance, I decided it was the latter. "Will you marry me?" I asked, emboldened. "Give me one good reason." He played along, looking quite friendly. Before I got here, I was the haughty state topper.
But now that I was here, I was just one more among the many at IIT, and I was suddenly feeling worthless. I am JEE212. I highlighted my sole achievement, feeling rather stupid. His friends gathered around me and started evaluating the proposal jointly. He had come across as a decent guy so far, but the others looked slimy. I started fidgeting with my pigtails. Everyone here, the Tinas, Minas, and the Rainas in IIT are JEE rank holders. I can't marry them all. He stood straight with his legs apart, hiding the slight bulge around his belly. I am straightforward, honest, intelligent, and a go-getter. I enumerated as much for his sake as my own. And he is the champ, remarked his turban friend in the hoarse voice, wiping his spectacles carefully with a clean cloth. The cert went by the name Suki, as I came to know later. What did Suki mean by that? Perhaps Red T-shirt had won some championship recently? I could find nothing else to brag about, as I had been singularly focused on cracking the IIT exam, with little time for personal grooming. I have long hair. I can embroider, paint, and dance, and cook yummy food. I felt cheap and horrible. Suki wanted to interview me further when Champ intervened. That will do, he said. Something in my sales pitch had caught his fancy. I was about to leave when Champ added, but there is a condition. I waited apprehensively, hoping he wouldn't notice my unshapely eyebrows or the bulging thighs. You will have to wait till I come of age, he said as he winked at me. A smile spread across my cheeks, and I promptly ran back and repeated the dialogue to the Dark Devil, or DD, as I had decided to nickname Deepika. He is called Champ because he excels in any field he desires, be it a new musical instrument, a sport, or a field of research, offered DD. Someone had challenged him when he was in class 12, and within 6 months he had triumphed as IIT JEE3, she added. I felt my ebbing confidence soar at having won a champion's heart, even if in a game. This was the best thing that had happened to me that day. It was already dark by the time we returned from the orientation, and I headed straight to the mess. I ate quickly to avoid being caught by a senior again. On my way out, a short, plump girl inquired if I was a first-year student. Yes, I am in G2, I replied. Isn't that a quadruple sharing room? What luck! For a second, I thought I had heard her wrong. Or was she mocking me? I have always lived in a joint family. I feel awkward, alone in C3. Yeah, whatever. There's no need to rub it in, I muttered under my breath. Just this morning, I had been told that single rooms were allotted by lottery. And then the very sight of G2 had reduced my dreams of hostel life to ashes. Do you mind if we swap places? She asked. Now I was sure I needed a hearing aid. This was too good to be true. Had God really sent a chubby, cute fairy for my salvation? Reading uncertainty on my face, she clarified that she didn't want to pressurize me. But a little voice whispered in my ears. Opportunity knocks only once. I will switch! I squeaked, trying to sound sympathetic rather than thrilled. She was thrilled as well and thanked me profusely. I knew today would be my lucky day, she said cheerfully. I saw a cow on my way to IIT. Now, I don't know how much of help that cow had been, but for me, it seemed like things had started to turn in my favor. Destiny? Maybe. My move to Seafloor was a prerequisite for friendship to blossom with Pooja and the skinny girl. I darted to G2, packed my bags, and moved them to C3 in a heartbeat. Located on the second floor of the front wing, it was a 9-foot by 10-foot room. The room looked straight out of a seedy one-star hotel on a forgotten hill station. Yet, it was heaven compared to the dungeon I had been in. Standing in the corridor outside my new room, I surveyed the front wing. With 20 rooms on each of the 3 floors, this building housed the BTech girls during all 4 years. I knew Pooja's room was on my floor, but I was scared to venture further from my room. The activities and excitement of the day had kept exhaustion at bay, but now my eyes were drooping. I looked out of the window by my bedside and saw a few senior girls sitting on the low boundary wall, laughing and chatting casually with some boys. Would I ever be as friendly with the boys? Day 1 was over, and I retired to my bed and to my dreams.